Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You're welcome to today's Bible study class. Hallelujah. Our God is good all the time. Our God has been faithful. We bless God for the privilege he has given to us thus far. My prayer is as we look into God's word today, may the entrance of his word bring light to us and understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. John chapter 16. So we're going to be looking at some lessons we can learn from John chapter 16. And I want us to see, you know, it's actually a beautiful chapter of the Bible. And I would encourage you to read and read and read this chapter again and again. And that's because it explains the works of the Holy Spirit. You know, I just want us to go through the verses together. John 16 verse 1, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Which is simply talking about the persecutions we're going to face as believers. Now, verse 5 says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. You know, so it continues like that, telling us the works of the Holy Spirit. And I really hope that all believers all over the world can, you know, see that there is actually nothing you can do, nothing without the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there was a time it was God ruling over the heavens and the earth. It was just God. So God would appoint, you know, or choose leaders for the people of Israel, judges. It was all about God. And then at some point, of course, God was still ruling, but then we had the dispensation of Jesus Christ, where Jesus had to come to the world to die for the sins of man. And then Jesus says that if he does not leave, then the helper will not come. And we remember in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, chapter 2, talks about the fact that the apostles were praying, were at the upper room, and then the Holy Ghost came upon them. This was after Jesus had left the earth. And this is the greatest advantage of every believer. The fact that the Holy Ghost is resident on your inside. That is the most beautiful, the most precious gift that we have. The Holy Spirit. And we need to begin to maximize the fact that the Holy Spirit is resident in us. You know, so you cannot do anything successfully without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now you might be wondering, but you wrote exams and you know, You read and you passed that exam. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit was one that helped you with the exam or something. But the reality is for every believer, you are being helped by the Holy Ghost. Every single believer. As long as you're a child of God, you have the Holy Ghost resident on your inside. Therefore, there is nothing you do that you could have done by yourself without the help of the Holy Ghost. So, what I would advise and so you know encourage you with this morning is engage the Holy Spirit. How do you engage the Holy Spirit? Simply ask that the Holy Spirit should help you. You know, we all have our wills and God would never, he will never override our will. I mean, this is true according to God's word. He has given us that way we can decide to choose God or not choose God. So the Holy Spirit is not just going to come and then begin to invade your space. What he would rather do is he comes when you allow him to come in. Remember when Jesus says, I stand by the door and I knock. It is who, those that open the door that I would, you know, come in to dwell with. So if you really want the help of the Holy Ghost, what you need to do is to ask that the Holy Ghost should help you. I've said it many times. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me on almost everything that I do. Almost everything. Even the seemingly little things. Even as small as cooking. Whatever it is I want to do, I engage the help of the Holy Spirit. So don't do anything, you know, without, you know, trusting the Holy Spirit for help. And I pray that the Lord will give us grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, from verse 16 downwards, we see how that, you know, believers need to learn to rejoice. You know, Jesus gives us a powerful illustration. You know, he talks about how that a woman who is in labor wouldn't consider the pain she's going through because of what is coming. So no matter how difficult and painful it is, she wouldn't mind bearing that pain. She is confident that at the end of the pain, joy is coming. So this is exactly how every believer should go through trials and tribulations. Whatever it is you're going through, remain confident that joy is coming in the morning, no matter how bad it is. Verse 21, a woman who is in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. You know, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a woman being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take away from you. This is how it works. No matter what it is, no matter the situation, you know, it is only but for a moment. That time is going to end. You know, my life is a practical example. You know, I was talking to my friend recently and I was saying that there was a particular time in my life that I thought I was never going to be okay. Like, how will I cross this bridge of struggling and struggling and struggling? I mean, financially. I thought it would probably take me another 10, 20 years before I am really comfortable. But, you know, the way God does his things is just stay calm. He has everything written down. He has you in heart. He knows what you want. And he's so mindful of you. If you, I wish you can say the way I am always so alert to ensure that my children don't fall into danger. The other day I was in the park with my son and then he cried, Daddy, I hurt my foot. I hurt my foot. I was like, whatever it was I was doing, I was actually playing ball. I left it immediately. I mean, I was so scared. I didn't want anything to touch him. This is how much God is mindful of you. Even in those times that you had to hurt your leg. It's not like God is not mindful. Sometimes what you're going through is only supposed to build character in you. So keep that faith. And I pray that the Lord give us the grace to hang on, to stay on with God. In Jesus' name. Now, you might not like verse 23 and 24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And that's absolutely correct. Whatever it is we ask, God is always willing to do it. And now you might be asking questions. How about the things I asked the other time and then God didn't answer? I've always said it. Sometimes God gives a yes. Sometimes God gives a no. Sometimes God is silent. Sometimes he's just silent. You know, so, you know, my pastor, I was listening to my pastor yesterday and he said, can we thank God for the doors that has been shut? There are some doors that God shut that you thought you needed that door to be opened. But it is in the mercy of God that that door was shut. There are some things you were expecting that you didn't get. And it's actually God's mercy that found you. That is why you didn't get that thing. If you had gotten that thing, maybe it would have killed you. But God in his mercies, he knows what you need. Exactly what you need. So, he answers all prayers. I mean, God hears us when we pray. So, put it at the back of your mind. Every single time you open your mouth to pray to God, he is always, every time, willing to hear your prayers. I pray the Lord will give us the grace to remain confident in God in Jesus' name. Then Jesus made a very strong statement towards the end of, you know, this chapter. He was talking to the disciples about his departure. So it was about time for him to be crucified. And, you know, he knew that the disciples were all going to leave him. So he had worked with this man, you know, for about 4 years, every single day. He ate with them. He played with them. Jesus taught them. He did almost everything with them. But now it was time for separation. No, and then he said, even when you all leave me, God will not leave me. And that's very, very massive. Okay, let me read it. Verse 31. Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and you all will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You know, this is a powerful statement, you know, and the encouragement is the fact that you are not also alone. You know, be rest assured that God will never leave you. When you're in the dark, God is there with you. When you're in the light, God is there with you. No matter that situation, no matter where you find yourself, God is there with you. So have that confidence that you are not alone. I pray that the Lord will give us that grace, that strength, that power to believe that we are never alone at any point in time, that God is always with us. I pray that the Lord will give us that grace to be confident in Him, in Jesus' name. I know you're looking around to see if God is truly there. Yes, God is there. God is with you because He said it. The only reason why I believe that God is right here with me is because He has said it. And whatever He says, He is not a liar. He's not a man that He should lie. He's not a son of man. So He cannot even repent. Whatever He says, He would do. Everything He says, He would do. So God says, He will not leave me. I believe that God is with me. Also, those times that you went to commit sin, God is also there. He's watching. Always remember that. Some of you feel that when you're in the private, there is no one there. God is there. He's everywhere. He's with you every single day. I pray that the Lord will give us that grace to be conscious of God's presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the day. Hallelujah.